decades have passed since radio listeners first heard the cry of Hiya Silver. Tonight's adventure is a milestone, marking the 20th anniversary of the creation of this program and the broadcasting of the 3,128 radio adventures of the Lone Ranger, a character who now ranks in fame with Robin Hood and King Arthur of the Round Table, and whose adventures have enriched the Library of Americana. And now, Cheerios! The nourishing breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat presents The Lone Ranger.
Hey-ya, Silver!
A fiery horse with speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-ya, Silver, the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger, the return of Butch Cavendish. Yes, when you hear that galloping horse, it's the Lone Ranger. And when you see that delicious breakfast cereal shaped like tiny, crisp little letter O's, it's Cheerios! With his faithful Scottish companion, Torrin, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plain led the fight for law and order in the early Western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. Hiya, Silver. Away!
In place of the commercial announcements usually heard at this time, our sponsor, General Mills, makers of Cheerios, would like to pay a special tribute to the Lone Ranger on this historic occasion of his 20th anniversary program. Thunder Martin was one of the closest friends of the Lone Ranger and Torrin. He was closing the corral gate of the ranch where he worked as top hand when he saw a stranger approaching. Thunder observed that the man's clothes were too large and his face strangely pale.
Whoa, whoa!
Howdy, stranger!
Howdy. This is the Hornblow Ranch?
Yep, and I'm the top hand. State your business.
You must be Thunder Mart.
Yes, that's my name.
Is it true that you're a friend of the Lone Ranger?
Yep.
I have an important message for the masked man. Where is he?
Well, he's traveling with a young gent named Dan Reed. Just leave a message with me and I'll give it to the Lone Ranger's pal. He'll be here soon.
No, I must see the Lone Ranger. It's a matter of life and death. His death.
Well, he said something about going to a place called Bryant's Gap.
Bryant's Gap?
It's 2-3 days travel south of here.
Yeah, I know the place. Steady, fella. Giddy up. Come on.
Doggone. Matter of life and death. I wonder what he meant.
Night found the Lone Ranger and his nephew, Dan Reed, camped in mountainous country west of Bryant's Gap. After leaving Thunder Martin, they made a side trip to visit the Lone Ranger's secret silver mine. Dan met a trusted old man who lived there, working the mine and refining the ore necessary to provide silver for the Lone Ranger's bullets and his own simple needs.
My brother and I discovered that mine long ago, Dan, before you were born.
That was before you and my father joined the Texas Rangers, wasn't it, sir?
Yes. When we joined the Texas Rangers, we couldn't work the mine, so we kept the location a secret. Your father's share of that property is now yours, Dan. Someday you may become very wealthy by starting large-scale operations there.
Oh, I don't really care about that. I just want to travel with you and Torrin.
Thanks, Dan. Later I'd like to discuss that with you more.
How soon will we reach the place where he was buried?
We'll be at Bryant's Gap the day after tomorrow.
Why, that's the...
Yes, the anniversary of your father's death.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that day. The things that happened completely changed my life, your life, in fact, the lives of many people. Your father and I were in a group of 6 Texas Rangers who were trailing the Cavendish Gang.
That was a powerful gang, wasn't it?
Yes, Dan. Butch Cavendish and his outlaw followers terrorized the entire Southwest. We heard that the gang was hidden in the canyon known as Bryant's Gap. The 6 of us rode into the canyon. Your father, who was in charge of our group, signaled a halt.
Whoa there. Ooh.
Whoa. Captain Reed, why are we stopping here?
I sent a guide ahead to scout the canyon so we'll not be ambushed. We'll wait for him to report.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Here he comes now.
Why, it's only been 15 minutes.
Ho there, ho. Ho there. Captain Reed, I've located the Cavendish Gang.
In the canyon?
No, sir. They're camped in the woods beyond the far end of the canyon.
You hear that, man?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We'll go through the canyon on the double. Come on. Easy now. Giddy
up. Let's go. Giddy up.
Collins had been working for the Cavendish Gang the whole time. Our civilian guide had lied to us. Cavendish and his men knew that we were coming. They were waiting behind protecting rocks on both rims of the canyon. They opened fire with high-powered rifles. Our horses went down, and the 6 of us were trapped on the canyon floor. 3 of us were wounded in the opening volley. We found meager protection behind rocks and returned the fire. We were at a tremendous disadvantage and hopelessly outnumbered. Your father and I were fighting side by side.
This can't go on much longer. Listen to me while I'm able to talk. My wife and son are on their way from the east. If you survive, I know you'll take good care of them.
I will, Dan. If I make it out of this alive, you can count on me to take care of your family.
You'll need to resign from the Rangers and work that silver mine we staked out. See that my little Danny and his mother get my share of the mine and... Oh!
Dan! Your father was struck by a fatal bullet. That's the last I remember of the fight.
Taran told me how he found you in the canyon. You were the only one who survived.
Yes. He nursed me back to health. He buried your father and the 4 other Rangers and made a 6th mound of dirt and a cross with my name on it, so the Cavendish Gang would think there had been no survivors.
And it was Torrin's idea to wear a mask.
Yes, Dan. He made my first mask out of the black cloth in my brother's vest. At first, I posed as an outlaw. That made it easier to run down the men in the Cavendish Gang.
How long did it take to get all of them?
Years, Dan. Last of all, we captured Cavendish himself.
Did the law hang all of them?
Only some were hanged. Cavendish and several others went to jail for life. Since then, they've all died, except Butch Cavendish. He's in the territorial prison.
It took you a long time to find me after you'd become the Lone Ranger. How did you know I wasn't massacred by the Indians who attacked our wagon train? Barely anyone made it out alive.
I didn't. But when I heard of that massacre, heard that there were no survivors, some inner sense seemed to tell me that my brother's son still lived. So I never abandoned the search for you. And I finally found you, after 14 years of searching. Now we'd better get in, turn in, and get some sleep. We're breaking camp at dawn.
That night, the man who had stopped to talk to Thunder Martin camped on the trail far north of Bryant's Gap. And that night, Torrin returned to the Hornblow Ranch.
What in? Torrin!
How are ya, Thunder?
Well, come on in. Doggone, I'm glad to see you.
You too. Now, what were you going to tell me about the stranger that came by today?
Sit down, Torrin. He came here about noon. Said he had something mighty important to tell the Lone Ranger. He said it was a matter of life and death.
Aye. Ugh, that's real strange, that is.
He wouldn't tell me the message, and he didn't want to wait for you, so I told him the Lone Ranger was heading for Bryant's Gap. He knew where that is and said he'd be going there.
Can you describe him for me?
Well, he's a homely-looking galoot with small eyes that shift around while he talks. He was wearing clothes that looked like they'd been borrowed from someone bigger.
But what could he need from the Lone Ranger for?
Oh, a horse just stepped outside.
Hey, Thunder! Are you there?
Yeah, I'm coming. Well, it's Western Union. How are you, Sparks?
All right.
You're a long way from town.
Well, it's on account of this message, Thunder. It came over to the wire tonight. It might be important. It's for the Lone Ranger.
Well, our Scottish friend here is the masked man's partner. Give him that message.
It just tells about someone who busted out of jail.
Let's see. Cavendish.
Yeah, Cavendish.
That's Butch Cavendish.
That's the man. I remember him now.
But Torin...
Did you tell him where the Lone Ranger got to?
Well, yeah.
Ugh. Then he's gonna go there right away. Ugh, he's the last of that gang, he is. And when he finds the Lone Ranger, he's gonna kill him, that's for certain. I've got to try and catch him before it's too late.
Stop here, Dan.
This is rough country. Some of these rocks are the size of horses.
It hasn't changed a bit since that day, years ago.
Oh, and just ahead of us, there's a gap in the cliff. That must be the entrance to the canyon.
Yes, Dan.
Why are we stopping here?
We'll leave the horses here in the shade of this boulder. Easy.
Daddy boy.
Dan, there's the entrance to the cave.
The one where Torin brought you after he found you wounded in the canyon?
Yes. That's where I first put on a mask and became the Lone Ranger.
Is it far to my father's grave?
No. He's buried right at the entrance to the gap. We'll go there now.
The entrance to Brian's Gap was about 50 yards wide and bounded by cliffs 100 feet or more in height, masses of rock that had been broken from the cliffs by countless years of wind and storm were piled along the sides of the canyon. Near the western side of the entrance, there was a little plot of grassland. Here, Dan Reed saw six mounds of earth, each marked by a crudely fashioned cross.
Thoran and I carved the names in these crosses before we rode away from here, Dan.
Oh, I see.
This one on the left marks the resting place of the man who led us, Captain Reed. One of the finest, most courageous men who'd ever lived. You're going to be just like him.
I want him to be proud of me.
He is, Dan. He is.
These others, Jim Bates, Sam Cooper.
Jack Stacy and Joe Brandt, Texas Rangers.
This one, the sixth cross.
My name is on it, Dan.
Yeah, I see.
That's why Cavendish and his gang thought that all of us were dead. They never knew that one Texas Ranger became the Lone Ranger.
Ah!
Dan!
A shot!
Come here and keep down. Ah! Keep your head down, Dan.
Who's firing at us?
I don't know.
I didn't even see where the shots were coming from.
I did. There's a man on top of the cliff on the far side.
But your shoulder, you're hurt.
It's not deep, just a scratch.
He sure seems determined to get us.
I'll return his fire.
Did you get him?
No, but I don't expect to from here. He's in a position to fire down at us without showing much of himself.
Good thing this rock's pretty high.
Yes.
Who do you think it is?
I have no idea, Dan, but I'm going to find out. Here, take this gun. I've taught you to use it.
Yes, sir.
I'll leave my gun belt with you. There's plenty of ammunition.
But you
I'll keep one gun. Now, listen carefully, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Reach around the side of this rock with the gun and fire in the general direction of that opposite cliff.
Now?
Yes. Try it, but don't expose your head or shoulder. That's the way. Now fire! Good!
He fired back.
That's what I want. Maintain space gunfire to keep his attention. I'm going to the top of that cliff. I think I can reach it without being seen.
But your shoulder.
Don't worry about me. Just keep firing.
The many boulders concealed the Lone Ranger as he circled wide and reached the cliff on the far side of the canyon's mouth. The cliff was difficult to climb and the masked man was hampered by his wound, but finally he reached the top. He was 100 yards from the edge of the cliff, 100 yards behind the gunmen. He reached for the gun he'd stuck in his belt, but...
My gun!
I must have lost it scaling that wall.
Though one-armed and dismayed, the Lone Ranger lost no time through indecision. He moved ahead cautiously and quickly, hoping that the unknown gunman wouldn't turn. The man was crouched behind a rock at the edge of the cliff. He fired intermittently, and Dan's responses came like an echo. The Lone Ranger was within 50 yards of the attacker. The distance narrowed to 25 yards, then half of that. When the gunman paused to reload his weapon, it was then that the masked man spoke.
Drop that gun!
What the?
Cavendish!
What are you doing here?
I'll never let you get away with what you did!
Not if I kill you first!
The masked man charged, but Cavendish was ready. The two men, armed only with their fists, met face to face. Cavendish swung and missed. The Lone Ranger struck a hard blow. Cavendish snarled.
I've waited years to kill you.
The Lone Ranger was weak from loss of blood. His blows lacked their usual force. Cavendish, on the other hand, was tough and strong from years of hard prison labor, and he knew all the foul tricks of rough and tumble fighting. He kicked and gouged. He clawed and bit. The two became locked and went down. The Lone Ranger's head struck a rock. He was half stunned. Cavendish secured a grip on his throat.
Glad my gun was empty. I'd rather kill you with my bare hands.
Weakened, only semi-conscious, the Lone Ranger's fighting heart would not admit defeat. He mustered his strength for a final mighty effort and wrenched free. He rolled away from Cavendish, then lay back, his head scant inches from the edge of the cliff. Cavendish leaped to his feet.
I'll get you. I'll strangle the life out of you. I'll square things.
The Lone Ranger saw the outlaw coming, arms extended, fingers reaching for a death grip. He thought,
my last chance. My life or his.
All right, Cavendish!
The Lone Ranger acted instinctively by bending his knees and bringing up his feet. Then, by grasping the outlaw's extended hands, Cavendish was lifted up by the Lone Ranger's boots against his stomach. He somersaulted over the masked man and over the edge of the cliff into the ravine. The Lone Ranger's strength gradually returned and his brain cleared. He made his way to the base of the cliff. He found the gun that had fallen from his belt, but then hurried to the entrance of Brian's Gap. There, he saw Cavendish lying on the ground. Dan Reed and Torin were at the outlaw's side.
Torin.
I heard that Cavendish was coming here to get ya. I tried hard to warn ya, but arrived too late.
Torin arrived while you and that man were fighting on the cliff. We saw Cavendish fall.
Torin, he's still alive.
Aye, he's dying now, though. The fall must have hurt him pretty bad.
You mass troublemaker.
Cavendish, can you hear me?
I hear ya. You made trouble for me from the start. Smashed my game.
Yes.
The Lone Ranger dropped to his knees beside the dying outlaw. He leaned forward so his face was close.
Cavendish, I'm going to remove my mask.
Don't bother.
I want you to die knowing the true identity of the man who smashed your gang.
No!
Look at me! Do you remember me?
You! Reed! No! No, you're dead!
No, Cavendish. I'm not dead.
I saw you fall. I saw your grave. You! All six to the Rangers!
One ranger did not die, Cavendish. One ranger lived to avenge the others.
Beaten by you. My whole gang smashed by one lone Texas Ranger.
Yes, Cavendish. By one lone ranger.
I wish I could have died not knowing it. You!
He's dead.
Torin, he was the last of that gang. Now we may feel free to take away the sixth cross and smooth the ground, so only five mounds of earth remain.
And to thank all the long years of smashing that gang, and it all ends right here where it began.
No, Dan, it doesn't end here. We'll keep writing. I'll keep my mask and continue as an unknown man. There are still many outlaws in the West. Men like Cavendish who must be brought to justice.
I'm gonna help. I've shown you that I can use a gun. Perhaps I could have one of my own.
Dan, when you're a man, there'll be law and order in the West, and great cities like those in the East. There'll always be bad men, but they'll be different from the kind we know. To combat them, you'll need strength and courage. Our great country will progress only so long as there are leaders. You must educate yourself to be a leader. I want you to go to college, to study science and law, history, and the problems of government. I want you to learn the many things required so you'll be ready to take your place as a good citizen and carry on where we leave off.
I understand.
Knowing that you're in school, preparing for the future, I'll continue to help others bring law and order to the West until you young men can take over.
I will, sir. I'll go to school and make you proud. You'll see.
In that case, Dan, I'll feel that I've fully kept the promise I made so many years ago besides your father's grave.
What promise?
To find you and prepare you for manhood.
I hope Dad knows.
I'm sure he does. Go over there, Dan. Go visit the father, the grave of your father, and a great man who has left behind a legacy of honor, courage, and loyalty. A man in whose footsteps you will follow.
Look at Dan. There he is, kneeling by the gravesite.
He's close to his father, Torin.
Aye, and that's where we began our friendship. That was so many years ago now. But as long as you live and as long as I live, I would always ride with you.
Yes, Torin. I couldn't carry on without you. As long as we ride, we'll ride together.
Cheerios, the cereal everyone loves. The only ready-to-eat cereal with this fresh toasted oat flavor no other cereal can match. And listen, Cheerios, with milk, fruit, and butter toast, gives you all the energy, all the go power you need to keep alert and at your best all morning long. You see, ready-to-eat Cheerios is made from energy-packed oats, made to give you vitamins and minerals you need for healthy nerves, good red blood, sound teeth and bones. Made to give you real go power. So every morning, get going and keep going with Cheerios. The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of The Lone Ranger, Incorporated, is created by George W. Trindle, produced by Bethany Luther College Finals Week, directed by Dalen Paulson, and sound designed by Aaron Stube. Voice talent starring Danica Dick, also featuring Noah Jananda and Peter Estrin Jr. Thank you for listening.